Welcome to the Classical Academy's podcast, Partnering with Parents. Join us as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
I'm Cameron Curry, Executive Director for the Classical Academies, and thrilled to be doing another podcast today. Our guest is Amy Pankratz, and we'll be talking about digital citizenship. So Amy, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. I'm glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am a mother of three boys. I have all three of my kids actually go to the schools. And I have an elementary, a middle school, and a high school age boy.
A busy time of life.
Very busy. Very busy, but very cool. I also teach for classical academies. I have a really strong passion for digital citizenship. This is my 10th year teaching, and I've gone in the process of having students completely screen-free in the classroom to definitely immersed in the screens. At present day, screens are a huge part of our education now.
Absolutely. So for those of us who don't know, what is digital citizenship?
Digital citizenship, a lot of times people look at that and they think that's just Instagram or Snapchat. That's Facebook. It's just social media is the apps. But actually, social media actually includes everything we do on a screen. So we're talking like photos, videos, texting, even as far as school sites, school logins, when you go to the doctor and they have a medical record on you. Digital citizenship includes everything we do online and how we respond to it and how we engage with it. A lot of people say, oh, I can dodge this conversation. It's an easy one to avoid. I don't have any of the apps. But actually, it's just generally the way of life that we are in right now. Digital identity is something that we all have. Even our one-day-old child has digital identity as we take a picture and post them online.
Well, medical records are online, and financial records are online, and pretty much our lives are online.
Exactly.
Whether we're engaging with it or not.
And whether or not we were the one that posted the photo.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So why is digital citizenship important?
Digital citizenship, it makes us vulnerable. And the vulnerability aspect of it is really what's important. As far as we're vulnerable physically, emotionally, psychologically, our information is vulnerable, our data. It's a way of life that we're all growing accustomed to. And so as far as digital citizenship and importance of it in our life, when you think about the natural consequences that come with it, you know, there's been a high level of isolation and loneliness and dissatisfaction. There's a lot of negative consequences that come with it, but there's also a lot of positive consequences that come with it. And we need to be ready for both sides of it. Mm-hmm. And we really need to understand what we're getting ourselves into when we use screens.
Interesting. Okay. So what are three tips you have for parents with students who are using the internet?
The three tips I have are one, educate yourself. Parents need to know the risks. We need to know the options for safety, and we need to know our individual children and their strengths and their struggles in it. You know, really every device in every family is different. So there's a lot of ways to do this. There's a lot of great filters. There's a lot of great apps. There's a lot of great blogs out there. But for parents, educating yourself is also educating yourself about your own child, where they are, who they're with, what kind of influences they're around when it comes to these things. The second tip is educate your child in the same way your child needs to understand the digital realm. Whether or not they are, in fact, engaging with apps or have a phone or don't have a phone, they're definitely going to have a friend that does.
Sure.
Understanding the entire realm is extremely important here. And the third tip would be create a plan with your child. Instead of saying, this is the law, just abide, kind of growing together and creating a plan together, because when it comes to digital citizenship, if it becomes a battle of will, nobody wins. Mm-hmm. And so when parents and children are on board together, it's definitely more of a successful journey.
Well, and I think about just parenting in general today versus maybe parenting when we grew up.
Yes.
Is the entire online existence just didn't exist. And so now parents are having not only to monitor their children, what's happening in the home, but moms and dads need to step up and really be involved with what's happening online. And if they do have a smartphone, they've got to be aware of what apps are on that phone and what the children are accessing or what they're not. And
yes,
it really creates some interesting dynamics because you and I didn't grow up with that. And now we're having to deal with that individually as parents.
Right. And it's really important too, because you want to say, what app's the best? What filter's the best? How can I monitor it really well? And it really comes down to, there's a variety of devices. There's a variety of things to monitor. It's kind of like saying, what's the best diet for me? It's very individualized, and there's a lot of resources out there. But it's just really important to communicate and know exactly what you're up against with your device and your situation.
Right. Because that'll vary as the children go from house to house and place to place.
And even age to age, from my 10-year-old to my almost 15-year-old, there's a huge range just right there in those 5 years.
Right. So our Jumpstart speaker, Dr. Jean Twenge, talked about limiting screen time daily. So what are your thoughts on this area?
Yeah, she was awesome. She had a lot of really great information to share with all of us. And I'm really glad I was there. I'm really glad I got to listen in on that. She had a lot of data to show the effects of screen time on our mental health. And one thing that was interesting about that is things like doing schoolwork and productivity didn't sway mental health quite as much as
just free time.
Exactly. Just kind of gaming and other alternative things like that. It's really important to think about what we're doing with the time, with our screens.
Okay.
As much as how much time we're using screens matters, it's also what are we doing in that time frame. And one thing we need to think about is what's called the dopamine effect. And so the dopamine is actually a neurochemical, and it's created naturally in our body, and the things that we do online can heighten our dopamine levels and give us a rush. And so when people say, my kids are so addicted to screens, they are in fact addicted to a dopamine high, which is an interesting...
It's a chemical effect on your brain.
It is. Right. And they are addicted, but so are we. It's an important conversation to acknowledge as people and not just separate from kids and parents.
So as you're having the discussion with your kids, it's important you're actually dialoguing with yourself. What are mom and dad doing that's limiting their screen time? And what modeling are you doing in the home that's actually impacting your students?
Exactly. Our kids are watching us all the time in this. And this is the first time in history that parents and their children are actually figuring something out together and experiencing natural consequences at the same rate.
Are there certain things that you're doing in your home to personalize this?
Definitely. I think this conversation is one with great vulnerability to talk about because it can come across as I have it all figured out, but I don't have it all figured
sure.
out. I don't. I want to have it all figured out. I definitely am very intentional in thinking it through, and we make great efforts in our home. So I'm gonna share the ways that ideally would be great.
The best.
Definitely. One of the things that we do in our home is all of our kids' devices have a filter on them. Now, the filters that we have, what we use is called Bark.us, and that filter actually is artificial intelligence with all of their texts and different kinds of apps that they use. And it just sends us a screenshot of any kind of conversation that would be alarming. It's been really great, and we have other filters and monitors going on in the home. But a big thing that we do with that is we don't hide it from our kids. So they know that their devices are monitored, and they know that they're monitored because we're trying to support them in the journey. So we're not doing it to reprimand them or catch them doing something wrong, but instead we just want to catch the conversation and talk with them about what they're doing and what kind of consequences could come from that.
Sure. And I think the other thing that I want to remember all the time is as I look at my smartphone, it is giving me access to basically every piece of information ever known pretty much to man, in good things and in bad things and in troubling things. And we have to remind ourselves that when we hand a smartphone to a young child, the access to so much information can be damaging even at a very young age.
One thing we did was we just turned the internet off. Our kids just don't have the internet or haven't had the internet when they were young, and we know the passwords and they don't for certain accessibility controls on the phones. So that has been a huge lifesaver. There are opportunities for our kids to use the internet, but those opportunities are not on the phones.
Sure.
And they're in locations where we feel comfortable having the internet. It's super important for kids to know that their parents aren't expecting them to get into trouble, but more that there's a lot of things on the internet that are gonna find our kids. I think it's about 50% of the internet is pornographic. Mm. And so when you think about the odds that something is going to pop up that you don't want them to see are very high. And so for us, that's a really big piece of this conversation in our home.
Sure. How can we all become a good citizen online?
That can be a tough question to answer for just one person to say. I think mostly when we look at who we are online, it's important to think about who we are offline.
Who are you when no one's looking?
Really? Exactly. And just how do you live offline? Because if you're practicing things that you know are not that great, then it's going to transfer online in one
right.
way or another. Maybe a comment, maybe a post, something regretful. To be a good citizen online is to really be introspective of who you are. Also, remembering that life isn't eye-driven. I think we've grown into a very egocentric time of a time period. Just mm-hmm. It's all about me, my music, my world, my way, the way I want it. And I could put my headphones in and that's that.
Right.
And so it's really important to be aware of other people. And basically the golden rule, of course, treating other people the way you want to be treated is a huge part of this conversation as well.
And I also think about my own high school experience and my own college experience. And then you reflect that through the filter of, had Facebook been around at that point and social media been around at that point, there were regretful choices that were made at those ages.
Yes.
And I'm always reminded of, as I see some of the kids post today, I'm just thinking, in 20 years, you're really going to regret that information's out there.
Right.
More employers are looking at social media as they make hiring decisions. There are more times than not that you're absolutely right. You make a stupid comment about something. You post a ridiculous picture of something.
Right.
That stuff will come back to haunt you in one way or another.
Definitely. And we have to remember that our kids' frontal lobes are not developed yet. And so they cannot process those kinds of consequences that are coming their way. And so we can even educate them on it, but it's still hard to grasp. It's
Sure.
hard to grasp what life will be like 15 years from now for them.
Right.
And so a lot of that falls onto the parents' shoulders of, you know, this is digital citizenship is just an added layer of parenting today. It's become one of our kids' basic needs. It's something that is critical for our kids to know, especially as they're using computers in the classroom. And this whole conversation is just transferring over who we are offline onto who we are online and just being aware of how that goes full circle.
Right, and the impact of those choices.
Exactly.
How can we share the importance of this with our children?
Okay, so I've come up with an acronym. So ready. So when I think of Are you ready to share this with your kids? And so I look at that, I say responsibility. We're responsible for the well-being of our kids and their digital situation, the pros, the cons, the natural consequences. Being an example, your own example of who you are to your kids, and also being aware of what examples they have in their lives. Who are they around? Who are mm-hmm. they spending time with? As they're getting older, we can't just let them leave the house and not know who they're engaging with. Because even just kind of an analogy I've had is when, like, our kids go to a sleepover, somebody else could be posting something of them at a sleepover, and what kind
right.
of examples are they around when they're in different situations like this? Okay, so back to the acronym. Responsible, example, awareness. Are you aware of your kids' circle of influence? Are you aware of their media choices? And are you aware of how to protect them? Are you technologically aware? Discernment, it would be the D. So when you have a gut feeling about something, it's really important to listen to it and have discernment about
mm-hmm.
your kids' activities and their choices, and just
right.
kind of following that lead of, why do you not want them to have Instagram? Is it because of people they're hanging around with. You know, why does your child, do they seem to be withdrawing? What could that be? Just kind of reading into the discernment there. And the last one would be you, your heart, your mind, your boundaries, and your choices. What are you bringing to the digital safety of your home?
The thing we need to remind ourselves is that we're the adults. So we have the experience. We've gone through different things, and just what you touched on before is our children don't have fully functioning minds at this point, and they're going through development, so we need to be engaged in this. We need to be having conversations around this. We need to not worry about being our children's friends, but embracing our parent role, which is what we need to be doing.
It's kind of an interesting state because we have experience as far as the social and emotional awareness, and we can predict consequences of behaviors. However, our kids seem to have more awareness of how technology works. It's kind of welcoming us to the table together to really learn from each other, and it's really important to harvest that respect with our kids. And it is easy to fall into the trap of just being their friend and wanting their approval, even their approval online, even with our social media accounts, that we might want our kids' approval there.
Well, there are some simple things that I've heard other families do, and I wish we were more successful when our kids were younger in this area. All of my children are adults now, but I think I've heard from other families that they've put into practice that phones are not plugged in the children's rooms at night. They're actually plugged in the kitchen or a common area in the home, so kids aren't going to bed with their smartphones.
Right.
When they are eating, all the phones are either put in a basket somewhere so they're not a distraction over the dinner table. Mm-hmm. And even when you're going out to dinner with your families, is the fact that they're all stacked in the middle of the table. And that way we're having conversation and we're not sitting and looking at our phones. So there are little things that we can be doing as parents mm-hmm. to remove the technology and to be okay with it while maintaining just, you know, our homes where we can hopefully look up and see each other and have conversations about what happened during the day. So
definitely. And I've heard of people making a game out of it even. If the first person to pick up their phone has to do the dishes or different things like that. So there's definitely a lot of ideas for limiting the distraction at the right time.
Sure.
There's also apps that you can just physically turn off the phone from one device. So we have an app called RPACT, and with that we can say you have 3 hours of screen time and then that's it. And so then it's off for the day and we don't even have to think about it. We can just schedule that from our phone. And so that's just another thing that our family does as well, which is really helpful.
Well, so Amy, as we wrap up our conversation, are there additional items you'd like to share with our families today?
So the 9 elements of digital citizenship that are widely recognized include digital access. And so that would be participation and collaboration online. It would be knowing, are we aware of who does or doesn't have online access in our world? Digital commerce. Buying and selling of goods.
Okay. Amazon.com.
Yep. Amazon.com. And also in that, knowing what happens with your data, what happens with all the information that you're sharing. A lot of times they'll say, this site shares cookies. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? I don't know. It's a good question.
And do people even know what that means?
And I want a cookie. Yeah, that sounds great. Digital communication, exchanging information. You know, what is the appropriate way to communicate? Digital literacy, just kind of knowing where information comes from, knowing how to analyze it, if it's true or if it's fake news. And that's been a really big thing in the media lately.
Mm-hmm.
Etiquette, what are the standards for conduct? How do we treat each other online? And digital law, what are the rules and the laws about online engagement? Just kind of knowing, I know there's some apps that are actually created and monitored in different countries. And so when things happen, like I know there was a situation in America where a girl was cyberstalked and she wanted to get information about the person who was stalking her. And she contacted the app and they were unwilling to work with her, and because they were based in a different country, that was okay.
Wow.
So just kind of knowing, even when we download an app, it's important to know who's in control of this app. You know, Facebook had a big issue with that not so long ago as well.
Mm-hmm.
So just remembering that it's not just a simple path, but that if something goes wrong, that we need to know who we're going to be dealing with.
Right.
And then digital rights and responsibilities, kind of like freedoms for privacy. What kind of freedoms do you have like really have. Digital health and wellness, the psychological well-being and physical well-being, how do you protect yourself online, and digital security, just being safe online from personal information to emotional consequence, what does that look like? And so these 9 elements of digital citizenship are recognized widely. Common Sense Media does a lot with those, and I know with the schools we work with Common Sense Media in our curriculum, which is really awesome, and parents can find a lot of resources on there as well. There's a lot of videos which range in age, so you can get a video for your kindergartner, but you can also get videos that kind of attack more of the tough issues for your teenagers. They have a lot of resources there as well.
Well, Amy, thank you so much for spending time with us today to talk about digital citizenship and the importance it plays with our families, with individuals, with children. And I appreciate you sharing tips and information with us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
This podcast is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. If you have a suggestion for a future episode, email us at podcast@classicalacademy.com. Subscribe to our channel or leave us a review. Thanks for listening.